I'm not sure if, as a clergyman, I'm allowed to say that something is spooky, but this morning's readings uncannily reflect what's going on in our church life together. Let's perhaps settle to say that the Holy Spirit has again moved in a mysterious way in giving us these readings for Advent 3, just as we're appointing a new rector. We're halfway through Advent, and the promised Messiah is just starting to become clear. We're just over halfway through the vacancy or interregnum, and the promised rector is just about becoming clear. John the Baptizer has pointed out who he is not. He's not the Christ. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophet. And he uses that mysterious phrase, "Among you stands one you do not know." And that's true to a certain extent here in Chipstead. The next rector is not standing amongst you, so that rules out Alison and me. And we don't know who he or she is going to be, but there's a feeling of expectation. So let me tell you where I've got to. I wrote this before I knew that Andrew was going to be opening the service by explaining what's going on, so it's a little bit of a repetition. But there was the wonderful advertisement, "The Archbishop of Canterbury wishes to appoint a rector for Chipstead." Because the Archbishop is, of course, the patron of our living here. Many years ago, the Lord of the Manor, Lord Hilton, passed over to the Archbishop the right to nominate the rector of Chipstead. He nominates the Bishop of Southwark to select a candidate for him. The Bishop of Southwark asks the Bishop of Croydon to take charge of the proceedings, and lo and behold, on Monday of this week, Bishop Jonathan met the candidates with Archdeacon Moira, and luckily she's got to know the parish, and our two parish representatives, the church wardens Chris and Shirley. And just to complete the reasons, the process, for reasons of confidentiality, we don't know the name of the successful candidate for some time, possibly not until the new year. So, with a bit of luck, we will, that person will be able to give notice at the end of December, 3 months' notice, so that takes us through to Easter. So, if all goes well, we should have a new rector here at Easter time or thereabouts. And one reason for the length of time it takes is the whole process goes into reverse. Bishop Jonathan informs Bishop Christopher. Christopher tells, he does his due diligence, which is what's going on now. He reports back to the Archbishop. The Archbishop gives the go-ahead, and it all comes back down to Chipstead. So what do I know that I can tell you? And I say I don't know very much, but I met the candidates at the beginning of the month, and I can't say more than that they seemed to me to be three very pleasant people, and I would have thought that any one of them was appointable. The good Lord, as I said, has moved in a mysterious way and found three very different candidates. And I must say that I personally am really quite excited to see which one has been chosen. I haven't a clue which it will be, but they seem to be so evenly matched that it'll be really interesting to see what the wise folk have come up with. So we will have, I think, another excellent leader for St. Margaret's here in Chipstead. As I said, I met all three candidates, and my job on the day was to show them the church. It was, if you like, the answer to the question on the pew sheet, "What do you say about yourself?" Now, I've been very cunning. I did this sermon principally for the people at 8 o'clock. You might know there was some of the people at 8 o'clock were quite opposed to the building down of the new orchard. So I wanted to emphasize how important the new orchard was. And then later on, you'll hear I go through, like St. Paul sometimes does, he goes through his ability or his right to speak about this, sort of say why I actually like this church building as well. But let me start then down in the orchard. I explained to them that it was the beating heart of the parish is where we do our hospitality. And Chipstead is famous for its care for others and its open hospitality. The orchard is where we nurture our young people. Our children and young people meet there. And last Saturday, Messy Church was a newfound, fresh expression. We had 90 people, 90 youngsters and their families, come to the orchard for the Messy Church. And those are people, it's designed to bring in people who won't have any, perhaps any of the allegiance to the church, but have some sort of inkling and want to come and hear a little bit about what's going on and have some fun and discover and be told about Christ. So it's a very good thing, but 90 people coming down there, it's really quite extraordinary. Some of them we don't know who they were. So it engages with them and gives them an idea of the love of God, which in Chipstead is playing, singing, and having cake together. So I think that 8 o'clock will come along at 10:45. You'll be amazed at the young families that we have here. So the orchard is also where our marriage course and the Alpha courses meet. The PCC meets there. Our planning meetings take place there. It's where we meet each other on Monday mornings and pray for the individuals in the parish. It's where we plan our outreach to Nethern, Hooley and Bugsville. And it's the beating heart of the church. It's also where we meet Christ. We're just about to open up the winter night shelter. And Jesus says, even what you do, even to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do to me. So I feel very strongly that that is our opportunity to meet Christ and these good folk who come to us for the winter night shelter. So having spent quite a lot of time down there in the orchard explaining all that to them, which I thought it was fair that they should understand something about how we view the church, and just saying that the beating heartbeat of the church, have a look at the Christmas tree when you have coffee. That was put together at the Christingle service. You'll see there are little candles with names or ideas or places on them. We asked the youngsters and all the people in the church, just write down a name or whatever you'd like us to be praying about and put it on the Christmas tree. And I think it's a lovely expression. Do have a look at it. It's very touching who the range of people that they're praying for. So prayer is the heartbeat of this church, of our congregation. Then I had to explain to the people at 8 o'clock, actually, I do like this building as well. I love the building. It means an awful lot to me. It's where Susan and I and my parents worshipped here together. It's where my father and mother had their funerals here, and they're buried just outside the church door. And I've reserved the same spot or the spot nearby for myself to be buried outside the church door. My brother Neil had a funeral service here. My sister Julia was married here. My son Mark was christened here. Been a minister here for more than 30 years. I've written the companion to the church. I've got the right, if you like, to talk about the orchard and then to talk about this great church up here. It's a wonderful building. If I take the church, I love the shape of it. I think it's a great machine for Christian formation. I liken its cross-shaped structure to the body of Christ. Here in the nave, we are the body, we meet together, we form our fellowship. In the transepts, they represent the arms of Christ reaching out into the community, because we're not a holy huddle. We have to be, we are the parish church, we have to be open to all, we have to reach out to all. Then the bells in the central tower, they're inscribed with the words, our hope is in the Lord, Hoffnung in the Lord. So, and that's the message. Every time you ring the bells, that's the message that rings out over the parish. Our hope in this church is in the Lord. And then we come to the chancel, which I always think is the sacred head of the church. This is where we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I say, you don't have to be praying out loud. So many people have prayed here that the very walls will pray for us, that great cloud of witnesses. And of course, it's where the Lord comes to us up here, as he does in the orchard, and up here he comes to us in the bread and the wine. So I love this church and I love this building, but I wanted them to get a perspective about all the activities that go on here, and it's not just here in the church building. So this morning we had that lyrical passage from Isaiah, and I consciously took the first part of it as my mission statement when I got ordained, and I hope, sure, the next rector will pay attention to it. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. We're halfway through Advent, we're halfway through the interregnum. So be encouraged by those two great readings from the Bible in Isaiah and John's account of the ministry of John the Baptist. But there was another reading, and delighted that Andrew said, well, we need to have a third reading this morning. There's another reading actually set for the day, which is St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And like the other readings, it's sort of spooky in how much it refers to us, or could be taken to referring to us this morning. So listen now to the words of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't put out the Spirit's fire, don't treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil, and so may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.